And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today, folks. And what a day it is. We are now only 6 days away from the election. 6 days away from Election Day. Of course, early voting again has already started. But we are 6 days away from the election. Presumably, we ought to be only 7 days away from the outcome. But of course, with mail-in ballots and some of the very loose rules regarding the counting of mail-in ballots, who knows how long we'll have to wait for the final outcome. But let us hope that a week from now we will know that Donald Trump is the next president of the United States. That is my hope. Well, look, we've got a lot to talk about. I got four basic issues I want to get to with you today, okay? And before I end the program, I want to pray for our country. I want to pray for this election. I want us to come in agreement for victory for the United States of America. And again, in my view, victory for the United States of America is a victory for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, and a defeat for Comrade Kamala and whatever appellation you want to apply to Mr. Tim Walz there. But we'll close out with that, okay? We'll try to end on that very high and hopeful note. First of all, let's talk about a little bit is what's going on. Just yesterday, a comedian got up before Donald Trump got up. I think this was in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Before he got up, and this comedian apparently, thinking I guess he was telling a joke, referred to Puerto Rico as trash. Now, my understanding is there's about 250,000 Puerto Ricans in Pennsylvania. I grew up in Pennsylvania, by the way. There's always a strong Puerto Rican community there, at least from the time I was growing up there. And apparently it's 250,000 strong now, and some have suggested that that was a terrible blow to his campaign. And I have to tell you that my initial reaction upon hearing that was self-inflicted wound. Who in the world put this person up without properly vetting him and instructing him, A, and B, that person ought to be fired. If you were stupid enough to put that comedian up as a preliminary act for the Donald Trump rally, and he says something that dumb, then whoever put him up is as dumb as he is. I reflected on that a little bit. I heard a couple of other commentators say something similar. Then I listened to Donald Trump talk about it. And, you know, I really kind of altered my view on this. Donald Trump said something like the following. Well, look, it's a comedian. I don't know him. Never heard of him. I don't know who put him up there. I don't know who made that decision. By the way, I'm not saying that person who made the decision probably shouldn't be fired. But what I'm suggesting is, I think he handled it the right way. Subdued. He said, look, nobody's been a bigger supporter of Puerto Rico and the Puerto Rican people than I have. So I don't think it's any big deal. And I thought, you know what? That's probably a better way to play it. Because if he came out and said, this is horrible, this is terrible, I am incensed and I'm going to fire people and blah, 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 he would give more legs to the story, and it would go a lot further in terms of whatever injury it might have caused. I think the way he's handled it, to me, probably limits the amount of damage it will do to him, if any. And then, of course, I believe at that same rally or at a later one, they had the shadow senator from Puerto Rico at a Donald Trump rally endorsing Donald Trump. So once again, Donald Trump turns lemons into lemonade. Once again, he's turned the situation around. And I thought on balance, you know what? That was the better way to handle it. My visceral reaction to it was anger because he seems to be moving along so beautifully and he's got momentum. And here somebody does something this stupid, which they can attribute to him. And as I've always said about any campaign, including my own, they hate you. They're out to give you to out to get you. Don't give them ammunition. Don't hand your firearm and a handful of rounds, okay, and a loaded magazine and say, here, forgive the analogy, folks, but you get my point, because I don't mean to in any way refer to Donald Trump's, the attempts on Donald Trump's life, but I mean, you get my point. That's probably a bad analogy in light of the fact that they've made a couple of assassination attempts have been made on his life. I shouldn't use the word they because we don't know who the they is, but let's put it this way. It has happened a couple of times, so probably not the best kind of analogy to use, but you get my point. Don't give them stuff to use against you. And so I thought that to me is exactly what that was. It was handing them something to throw at him. But I think he handled it the right way. And I think this is not going to diminish his momentum at all. The person who was the most strident about this, of course, was Nikki Haley, who, by the way, I have absolutely no use for politically. As far as I'm concerned, she should be cast on the dung heap of political history and forgotten. Because to me, I am no fan. I don't trust her. I don't believe in her. I would not want her to see her as president or vice president, or for that matter, I wouldn't even want to see her in a cabinet office, although she might end up there. I am not interested. I just think that the woman is a fake and a hypocrite. That's my viewpoint. I don't want to spend any time getting into that, but she was one of the earliest to come out and say, this is terrible. This is going to hurt him. And he doesn't need to be doing this. Listening to her made me feel like the only point she's trying to make is, I'm a better candidate than Donald Trump. See? I know more than Donald Trump. You should have nominated me. And things would be going so much better. And so I'm not the least bit interested. So at any rate, the remark was made. Stupid comedian. Stupid move on the part of whoever put him up without clearly instructing him, unless it was a setup. And he knew exactly what he was going to do and kind of, you know, was basically doing the work of Donald Trump's enemies for him. Just getting on stage at a Donald Trump rally and saying something stupid that then could come back to haunt or to hurt Donald Trump. That's just a possible theory, folks. I don't have any inside information to know that that's true, but it does seem a little bit contrived. Here we are a week before the election and some comedian gets up and dumps on a constituency, part of the Hispanic community that is clearly supporting Donald Trump now. In overwhelming numbers supporting Donald Trump. And of course, you know that hurts Democrats badly. They can't stand that. So at any rate, enough said about that. Continue to pray because, of course, as I've said before, they're out to get him. And either they can make up something or something can happen. They will use whatever they can to try to hurt him. But I'm believing God that the momentum that he has will continue and take him all the way through to the presidency and also win the Senate and the House to boot. And that all three branches of governments will, at least as a titular basis, be in the hands of conservatives. I say titular because, meaning, you know, at least in title, because if you have leaders who like Mitch McConnell, and we'll see how the Speaker of the House fares if he gets a bigger majority, but if they're not committed to leading conservatively, I'm not so sure what use they are. But at least in name, we will have conservative leadership if things continue to go the way they're looking right now, and I'm praying that they will. Although once again, we are leaving nothing on the table, folks. When I say we, I mean we Christians, we conservatives, we people who are supporting Donald Trump. Of course, I run a nonprofit. American Family Radio is a nonprofit. Our nonprofit organizations don't support a candidate. We don't give money to a candidate. But we as individuals, of course, have a First Amendment right to speak our minds. And thank God that American Family Radio is a network that honors that principle rather than running from it, as sadly so many do. I think I told you all about the gospel radio stations that would not run even a nonprofit ad that said to Christians, just vote your Christian values. They said, oh, no, we're not. We can't run that. No. So the landscape, the political landscape abounds with so-called Christians who are cowards. Now, thank God that's not what you have. We're here with American Family Radio, and thank God there are many Christians across the country who are standing up for their biblical beliefs. And again, let me just hasten to add, folks, I don't need to say this to you all, but to those who monitor the things that I say and want to turn them around and, you know, at the right moment come up with, E.W. Jackson said, you know, to something that they think is going to be harmful, let me just say again, we do not worship Donald Trump. We are not blindly obedient to Donald Trump. We support Donald Trump because we believe he is the best person for the job based on our values. And that, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is as far as it goes. Donald Trump will come on the scene. We trust he will do a magnificent job as president, did in the first 4 years, and he'll do it again. And then he will move off the scene and others will come in his wake. That's something I also want to talk about before we end the program today. So let me move on to another issue that I do want to raise with you. And that is that Kamala Harris is running around saying that Donald Trump wants to put his opponents in prison. He wants to divide us. He wants to you know, create chaos. And you know, you listen to this stuff, folks, and you just think, do these people hear themselves talking? Because what party is it after the George Floyd debacle that supported and justified over 500 riots across America in which police stations were attacked, police cars burned up, attempts to set federal buildings on fire, threats that they were going to burn America down? I mean, who supported all that, justified all? Oh, they're just peaceful protests. Occasionally they get a little out of hand. Who did that? The Democrats, the left, had no problem with it. In fact, Kamala Harris raised $40 million to help get people engaged in such behavior out of jail, to get them bailed out. She called Black Lives Matter strategy brilliant. And it turns out they were self-professed trained Marxists who didn't spend any of the money helping black people. They spent it buying big mansions that were once lived in by communists because they just wanted to live in the same house that some great communist nutcase lived in. And they spent $1 million in a security contract. One of them did. I think this was Patrice Cullors spent $1 million with a security contract, I think, with her husband. I mean, that money is gone. And so is Black Lives Matter for all practical purposes. They were one of the most divisive, destructive forces that the nation has ever seen. And by the way, in the aftermath, as I pointed out, crime in the inner city skyrocketed. The numbers of children being murdered in all of these gang conflicts that erupted as the police were forced to drop back because of the Defund the Police movement, more black people have been killed under the aegis and the leadership and the influence of Black Lives Matter. And you can't even compare the number that are actually killed in negative interactions with police versus those who are killed in black-on-black crime throughout the inner city. There, you can't even put them in the same universe. thousands killed in criminal behavior and murderous behavior. Thousands. And on average, about a third of the numbers overall killed in interactions with police officers, violent interactions with police officers, about a third of those killed are black. And that is, in light of the last time I looked at this data, it may have changed, but probably not very much. In light of about 6 million black people, 6 million, the overall number across the country goes from about somewhere between 10 and 12 million. But about, and I'm not talking about traffic stops, I'm talking about arrests now, arrests. 6 million black people arrested. You say, well, isn't that over disproportionate? Yeah, because sadly, young black men commit a disproportionate amount of the crime. Nobody wants to talk about that. That's why so many of them are in prison. 52% of the murders committed in America are committed by 6% of the population, which is black men. Now look, that's a sad statistic, but it's the truth. And yet, all that chaos and all that craziness, and Kamala Harris had no problem with it. She thought it was brilliant. But Donald Trump's the one who's bringing chaos? How? Remember, even for the January 6th rally, he had asked Nancy Pelosi to supply, I think it was 15,000 National Guard, just to be sure, just to make sure that nothing got out of hand. She refused him. She refused him. And then they later try to concoct and spin and everything he said and everything he did. Somehow, even though he's asked for the National Guard to come in to maintain order, he's the one who somehow is trying to engineer an overthrow of the country. It's ridiculous. Once again, in my view, it was just a setup. I think they were hoping things would get out of hand and there wouldn't be anybody to stop it. And that way they could point the finger at Donald Trump, which is exactly what they did. So, and by the way, Donald Trump wants to put his opponents in prison. Do I need to remind you of the FBI going to Mar-a-Lago and being told to use lethal force if necessary to gather documents that Donald Trump had a right to possess as president of the United States and had Secret Service guarding? And by the way, a case that was thrown out by the court, thrown out. And Donald Trump wants to prosecute his opponents and put his opponents in jail. And they were sent to Donald Trump's home. And we saw the pictures. FBI standing around like, again, they were about to arrest Al Capone. And all of the people arrested and held incommunicado after the January 6th debacle, some of whom have gotten 10 to 12, I think one person's gotten 22 years in federal prison. Who, by the way, in spite of what the left says, that group didn't kill anybody, didn't harm anybody. The only person who was killed was Ashley Babbitt. And she was killed by a cop who was somehow hailed as a hero for shooting the woman in the face, although she was coming through some kind of window opening, unarmed, unarmed. And she was shot in the face and murdered. And no one's ever been held accountable. It was a black cop who shot a white woman. Now, what if that had been reversed? What if that had been a white cop on the inside and black rioters or some riot sponsored by the left, and a black person, a black woman, was climbing through that window and got shot in the face? It would have been the end of the world. Oh, my goodness gracious. You would have had the ACLU. You would have had every little two-bit hustler. Al Sharpton would have been there. And they would have been all over the place talking about how racist America is and how dare they. This woman was unarmed. And Donald Trump wants to put people in prison. By the way, he was in office 4 years. Was there ever even an accusation that he was trying to put a political opponent in prison? But we've heard nothing but that out of Joe Biden. I mean, how many cases have been brought against Donald Trump? Trying to have him put in jail. They're the ones who are abusing the authority of office and the authority of the law to try to punish Donald Trump because he's an opponent. And by the way, little old ladies, 70-year-old plus old ladies, peacefully praying the rosary, singing hymns, praying prayers in front of a baby killing factory that they call an abortion clinic. And those little old ladies are arrested and sentenced to 10 and 11 years in federal prison, again, as if they were members of the mafioso. And Donald Trump wants to put his political opponents in prison? How about the pastors arrested during COVID because they had the nerve to dare exercise their First Amendment rights to freedom of religion? Who do they think they are? They realize there's no constitution when Democrats are in charge, because what matters is not the constitution, but what they say. They posted all over the country governor's edicts, which do not have the force of law under any circumstances. It is the law. Wait a minute. Really? I don't remember it being passed by the legislature, signed by the governor. No, the governor said so, and therefore it is the law. Thank God we're a constitutional republic, but I wish more people knew it and understood. A politician that stand up and say something and suddenly that has the force of law. That's not the way we work as a nation. We're not a monarchy. We're not a dictatorship, and Donald Trump doesn't aspire to be one. But I tell you who does aspire to dictatorship, these leftists, because they want to control everything and everybody. So talk about psychological projection. Donald Trump wants to put his opponents in prison. Donald Trump wants to divide us. Donald Trump wants to create chaos. What they hate about that Madison Square Garden event that he held a few days ago is that there were people from all backgrounds, all complexions, all religions. I mean, Christians, obviously, but there were Muslims there. There were Orthodox Jews there. That's what they hate. And so, you know, when you start labeling a rally that's got Orthodox Jews in attendance as a Nazi rally, you know, you've got some chutzpah. I mean, these people would lie before they breathe. Well, look, here is where we actually are. Okay? Donald Trump is ahead by most national polls, slightly ahead, but the national polls don't really matter, right? What matters is what's happening in the battleground states. And in the battleground states, right now, Donald Trump is up by small percentages of a vote. I think he's taken the lead slightly in Pennsylvania. He's got I think his lead has grown in Pennsylvania since the last time I looked at the numbers. But he's ahead in North Carolina. He's ahead in Georgia. He's slightly ahead in Wisconsin and Michigan, Arizona, Nevada. If he sweeps all of these battleground states, he will win by a landslide. I'm predicting he'll probably lose a couple of these by very, very thin margins. But I think he's going to win by a very, very convincing number. Like I said, I think Donald Trump's going to win by at least 4 points. I think it's going to be 52-48. And I think he'll get to at least 290 in the Electoral College, and he may get beyond that. If a lot of these states break his way that are really close, really on the margin. Now, I've heard Democrats say, well, they may look that way now, but Kamala Harris got an easier pathway to 270 than Donald Trump does. I think that's a lie. A lie meant to dispirit you and me, and a lie meant to encourage their people to keep fighting because they're within striking distance. Well, obviously, on our side, we've got to keep fighting because it doesn't matter if we think we're ahead right now. We've got to We've got to act like we're behind. We've got to work like we're behind. We've got to pray like we're behind. But right now, there's plenty of reason for us to be encouraged. No reason for us to take our foot off the gas, so to speak. But lots of reasons to be encouraged and keep the pedal to the metal. Okay, let me raise one other issue in the time I've got left. Because this is the question that continues to arise, folks. Will they cheat? And I think the answer is yes. Look, as far as I'm concerned, they're cheating already, because here in Virginia, for example, where apparently Donald Trump is within striking distance, you've got the court, the Justice Department, getting the court to reinstate on the ballot, reinstate on the voter rolls, people who self-declared as non-citizens. In other words, they self-declared. They said, we are not citizens. Please take us off the voter rolls. Because, you know, we got this automatic voter roll thing where, you know, you sign up for a license and you automatically get put on the voter rolls. Well, this is ridiculous. We ought to have proof of citizenship the first time a person registers to vote. Not you go sign up for a license and automatically you're on the voter rolls. But nevertheless, our governor, along with some others, has been going through the voter rolls and removing people who are not citizens. These are self-declared, self-admitted non-citizens, and the court has actually ordered the governor to put them back on the voter rolls per the Justice Department's lawsuit. Now, folks, I ask you, why would they want to do that? There's only one reason: to cheat, to get non-citizens to vote. Which is, again, so are they going to cheat? Yes. Here's the only question. Will they be able to cheat enough to overcome Donald Trump and win in spite of the margin of his victory? That's the only question. And I think the answer the answer in this election is no, they won't. And why is that? Because we're much more vigilant than we were before. Because we're much more aware than we were before of their propensity to cheat, their willingness to cheat, their complete lack of honor and integrity in these matters. Power is their god and anything goes. So, but look, it's already started. By the way, we've got a similar problem happening in Pennsylvania right now, and the Republican National Committee has filed an emergency application in Pennsylvania because they found out that a number of people cast invalid mail-in ballots, and the Pennsylvania Supreme Court is allowing invalid mail-in ballots to be made provisional ballots, subject for verification later. The problem is that the law says that an invalid mail-in ballot is not to be counted, is never to be counted. If it is invalid as a mail-in ballot, it cannot be cured. But the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania has taken it upon itself to become the legislature and change the law and say, well, we're going to cure them. So the cheating's already begun. The RNC, to their credit, is suing the state of Pennsylvania saying you can't, the state of Pennsylvania saying you can't do that because it is a violation of Pennsylvania law. You see, this is why the Democrats want to pack the Supreme Court, because basically they don't want law. They want their own personal proclivities enshrined as law, so that basically what they want is a court that will rubber stamp whatever they want to do. And that's what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court is doing right now. They're rubber stamping what the Democrats want to do. They're not allowed to do it by law, but they're doing it anyway. So the cheating's already begun. No less an important individual than the Federal Election Commissioner, Trey Traynor. He's a Federal Election Commission member, said that mail-in balloting is a cauldron of fraud and abuse, as we just demonstrated here with already in Pennsylvania. Mail-in balloting is a cauldron of fraud and abuse. And he's saying that we need to stop this, because it is doing is undermining the integrity of our voting system. That's a Federal Election Commission member who oversees these matters, and he's saying it mail-in ballots aren't good. They are inherently undermining of our electoral process and system. Well, when you get a Federal Election Commissioner saying to you, this is no good. This is no good. We cannot do that. We cannot do this. Look, there's even been some indication, at least, of people using mail-in ballots to strong-arm folks as to how they vote. Because you don't have to show up at the polls. You don't get to go into a private voting booth. And if someone else is doing ballot harvesting, for example, that someone else could, in fact, be intimidating voters to vote the way they want them to vote. So, I mean, here's another example. A bunch of mail-in ballots. Where is this? Multnomah County. I think that's the Washington area. Well, at any rate, if you can figure out where Multnomah County is, but they had some ballots that were burned up. Yeah, some ballots, and they suspect that it is arson. In fact, this happened at several ballot drop boxes in Vancouver, Washington, and Portland, Oregon. And they found incendiary devices that were used to cause these ballots to be destroyed. And this commissioner said, all of these states with mail-in ballots need to look at their systems and get to something that allows for checks and balances. Because here again, why were these ballots systematically destroyed? Why? And he said, we don't know the motive yet. He said, but there is suspicion that whoever did this is saying to the voters, stay out of it. I have a feeling now, again, I can't prove this, folks, but one wonders in those states, if they're destroying ballots, are these places where they somehow figured out that a lot of people voted for Donald Trump and they don't want that. So they destroyed the ballots. And by the way, because these drop boxes are not guarded, you know. These drop boxes are not guarded. These ballots are not secured. I mean, that's another thing. I was talking about mail-in ballots, but now we're talking about drop boxes. But that's another thing. These drop boxes, they're not secure. So let there be no mistake, folks. The cheating has already begun, which is why we have to be praying. Now, another election official has said that key battleground states need to be prepared to wait. Many of them are saying the following. Now, look, we know we can do this better than we were able to do it in 2020 because COVID was new. COVID's over now. So we shouldn't have the same problems we had during COVID. There shouldn't be the same level of delay. But mail-in ballots again require more human interaction than a ballot cast in person. So they have to be verified. They have to be removed from their individual envelopes. So first of all, the envelope itself has to be verified as authentic. Then the ballots have to be removed from their individual envelope and then loaded into a tabulator. So now you've got, well, three opportunities really for shenanigans. You got to verify the envelope. You got to look at the ballot. And then you got to load the ballot into a tabulator. So you got three opportunities for fraud as opposed to you go to the voting booth. Somebody hands you a paper ballot. You mark that paper ballot. You feed it into the counter and you watch the counter go up. I mean, the reality is the only time that ballot is handled is by the voting registrar who gives you the ballot and you. That's it. And from you directly into the tabulator. But not so with mail-in ballots. So here's what they're saying. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while, given the number of mail-in ballots. It's going to take time to get all these ballots counted. And they don't know how many, but it sounds to me like many of these people in these battleground states are saying, we're not going to know until well after the votes have been cast. Because remember, in some of these states, you're not allowed to start processing these ballots until election day, which means imagine if you've got tens of thousands or maybe even hundreds of thousands of mail-in ballots in these states where they send out universal mail-in ballots, and you don't start counting those ballots until election day, you're not going to have the results at the end of the day on election day. Not counting all the people who vote in person that day and counting all the ballots that have come in. But states like Florida, for example, they have 22 days to process their ballots. They start processing the mail-in ballots 22 days before the election. Not so in Pennsylvania. Not so in Wisconsin. And not so in some other states. So, once again, to me, the longer this takes, the more opportunities there are for shenanigans, the more opportunities there are for cheating, for fraud, for manufacturing ballots, for stealing ballots, for having ballots disappear. Because you don't really get the count for who knows how long. And, you know, on election day, it may look like Donald Trump won. And then 2 weeks later, oh no, because we had all these mail-in ballots come in. And guess what? They were 99% for Comrade Kamala. So, folks, the cheating's already started. We just have to pray that Donald Trump's margin is so great that they can't cheat enough to overcome it. Because they're going to cheat. Again, going to? They're already cheating. But you know what? In my view, we're going to win anyway. In the name of Jesus. Because that's the other thing. We've got to make sure we limit their cheating by watching everything they do. That's why, you know, it's even more important in states with mail-in ballots, even more important that there be official watchers who are conservatives, who are patriots, who are people who love the country, so they can watch what is going on and call it out if there's something wrong. And if the people they work with won't pay any attention, take it to the press and tell them, hey, something's wrong here. I saw some shenanigans that are not rectified, and therefore I am not sanctioning this process. I believe something wrong is going on, and put the spotlight on it. And let the RNC and other activist organizations, public interest law firm, my friend Christian Adams, jump in there and start looking and scrutinizing the situation. In other words, turn on the heat and make it so hot that they can't stand it. So hot that they know if they continue going down the road of trying to cheat and defraud the Donald Trump out of this election and the American people out of this election, they're going to find themselves being prosecuted and going to jail. So that's where we are, folks. That's where we are. So if you haven't voted, get out there and vote. If you have voted, and whether you have or not, get as many people as you can to get out there and vote with you. And look, I was just discussing with my staff yesterday. I'm talking about my PAC staff now, the Stand America PAC staff, discussing yesterday, adding to our ad buy, because we have people, we have money still coming in. And we're taking that money and translating it into additional spots so that we basically on the radio stations and the outlets, of course, doing social media has been a nightmare because, you know, they don't want you to do it. And so navigating that whole process has been very difficult. We haven't gotten past it yet, but we're going to, so that we run some spots on social media as well and get to some of these young voters who are looking at social media all the time. And we make sure they, too, have a reason to want to vote for Donald Trump and vote against Kamala Harris. But, folks, none of it is easy because they're throwing obstacles every way they know how. They're not interested in a fair fight. They're only interested in winning. And they're not interested in the will of the American people. They're only interested in their will. And I said, our prayer is, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They don't have a prayer. But you know what they say? Our kingdom come, our will be done on earth as it is in hell. Yeah, that's their mantra. That's their confession, their profession, if you will, because they don't have a prayer, because they don't have a God to pray to. And that's the stark choice, folks. Those who of us who want God's will done on earth as it is in heaven, and those who want their will done on earth as it would be in hell. Not for our country, not on our watch. Not while we are here to stand against them. Look, I preached a sermon on Sunday called Christians and Elections, Will You Be Overcome or an Overcomer? And I talked about the fact that the Christian community is the immune system for the body politic. Just like your immune system protects your body from being ravaged by disease and bacteria and germs, I said, if your immune system turned off today, you wouldn't last 2 or 3 weeks unless they put you in a bubble somewhere and pumped you with antibiotics to try to sustain you. But your body would no longer be capable of defending itself against the onslaught of infection. And left untreated and unattended, it would kill you within a very short time. Well, without the Christian community, the godless, the leftists, the sexual deviants would kill this society. They would kill it. Because the thief only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all they know. What they're thinking is better to reign in hell, reign in a hellish country, than serve in a heavenly country and have to submit to the will of the American people. No, I'd rather reign in hell, in chaos, in disorder. That's their attitude. You say, well, Bishop, that seems a little bit far-fetched. But isn't that what they're doing? With illegal immigration? Give us more power so that we can save the planet? Turning our energy over to foreign enemies that hate us? I mean, isn't that what they're doing? It's not far-fetched because it's happening now. Just give them more power and give them more time and it will only get worse. So listen, pray like everything depends upon God. And then let's work and let's get active and engaged, particularly in this last week, like everything depends on us. Let's run right through the finish line, okay? Don't run to the finish line, run through the finish line. That's what we're doing. Want to know more about exactly how we're doing it? You can go listen to the spots we're running in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia. Go to standamericapac.us. That's standamericapac.us. If you want us to run more of those ads, make a contribution and tell us a little note. Hey, run more of it. If in fact there's a particular ad you think is most effective or touched you the most, say run more of these and we'll do it. We've got time. Because we've got now just a few days to save our constitutional republic. And Ben Franklin, if you made it to heaven and you're listening, a republic, and we intend to keep it. God bless each and every one of you. Great to be with you again today. I will be back next week on the day after the election. Please be sure to tune in, because there's going to be plenty more to talk about by then. In the meantime, stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.